Brandon.
Hey, Alan.
And welcome to Dice Over Everything, the Miniatures Gaming Podcast.
So, you know how, like, armies historically have had, like, music or, like, war drums or, like, giant horns for going into war where it's like, just to, like, pump up your troops or freak out the enemy? But then, for some reason, you think of, like, more, like, Civil War and past American war band music. It's like, what? They have marching bands with, like, little tiny, like, drums, like, and do with the flute. It's like, who is this freaking out or pumping up? Like, what is this music even, like, for?
I think it's now, at this point, basically war got so terrible that afterwards, that it's just for celebrating afterwards.
You have the marching band after.
I don't think those are for pumping people up anymore. It's for afterwards. They're like, listen, you went through the most terrible, harrowing experience. You've come out the other side. You just want to relax and not think about the horrors you've seen. So then they're like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Okay.
I have no idea, man. I never experienced war or anything, so I'm just guessing.
All right. Well, I know we'll have to look up whether American 1800s war had the marching band out front or afterwards, because that just seems like the lousiest pump up music ever.
Yeah, I think I do wonder if some in some way it does line up with the changing view of war. Where war has become, you know, it was around the 1800s, around like Civil War and stuff like that, where war became, and actually World War One, where war became much more just like the glory of war basically was sapped out, right? Where before, you know, it was a glorious thing to show, you know, how great your nation is and how awesome you are, and you know, you get the spoils of war and everything like that. It seemed like an overall positive and good experience for your nation, assuming you won. But nowadays everyone hates war.
At that point it came down to, can you reload your muzzle rifle in 5 seconds versus 7 seconds? Good job, you can win. Like, wow, there goes all the glory.
Yeah, well, I think it's more like, even if you're good at fighting and killing people and not dying, you still might die because you're sitting in a trench and you just get sick and you get trench foot and then your legs fall off.
That could be less. Yeah, they feel like to march across shit all the time. There's whatever.
I don't know. Obviously, we haven't done enough military history to know for sure. Mm-hmm. But so is there anything? Yep, go on.
No, but at least war and Frostgrave can seem glorious because nobody gets trench foot and Frostgrave, do they?
Yes, because it's more old school and everyone has it's just 10 guys fighting another 10 guys and you're coming out on top. So like when you kill them and you take their stuff, it's more like you're a mugger or something like that. There's more glory in that, apparently.
Oh, okay. There's more glory in being a thief than in fighting with
yes,
from trenches.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. And so with that, we might as well start introducing our topic, which is Frostgrave 101, lesson 11, I believe, or is it 12? Anyways, lesson almost done, all of the wizard schools. Today we're going to be doing the Thaumaturge. So the Thaumaturge school, we're going to be going through all of their spells, what's good, what's bad. We're going to rate them from S tier to F tier. Then we're going to go through what kind of allied spells you want to take and what kind of warband and spell list you might want to do if you're starting a new Thaumaturge warband. And after that, of course, we'll stamp a big old rating on the Thaumaturge and tell you where they align on our rating system.
Yeah, we'll see how the Thaumaturge fights, if they fight gloriously or if they fight like cowards from the back. Every
with
wizard
a little
will
flute.
Oh yeah, well, they just sit around playing a flute for everybody else, or if they like get in there, yeah. All right, should we get in right into the spells then?
Sure, let's do it. I got my spells up here. The first spell we're gonna go through for the Thaumaturge is Banish. So this is a TN10 line of sight spell, and it's specifically for screwing over demons. So every demon in line of sight of a spellcaster who casts this has to make a will roll with the TN of the casting roll. So usually it'll be 14. And then if they have a will of 4 plus or less, which I believe is minor demons and imps, because I believe there's technically 3 demons aside from the things in certain expansions, but the base game is 3 types of demons, so minor demons and lesser, they just die if they fail the will roll. And if they have 5 plus will, which is generally just greater demons, they will suffer 3 times the difference in which they fail the will roll.
Yeah.
Which technically is not going to be that much, because demons, greater demons have plus 5. So it could still kill them, right? If they roll like a 1 or something. Crap. Yeah, really, really crap. So what do you think of this spell?
So I think that demons normally don't show up all that often as like enemies. Mm-hmm. And I guess the possessed spell turns things into demons if your opponent decides to go down that route as a summoner.
Yeah, it makes their willpower worse.
Yeah, or you could be playing the Red King expansion, which we're doing, which I almost want to ban this thing because it just ruins a lot of the fun. It's like, okay, the board's going to be covered in demons. Oh, look, you just emptied the board. Now the board is empty. So I would say if you're playing Red King, don't even let anyone use this spell. We'll have our personal discussion
about that
later.
Not because it's weak, but because it's too strong in the Red King.
Yeah, exactly. If you're playing the Red King, it's an F. You should be kicked out of the game for using it.
Don't even take it. Fair enough. But overall, from our rating system, where would you put this?
I would put it down in the C category because it is just above F because if a demon appears, you would cast it. But that is beyond corner case, so it's just too...
And unless you're fighting a summoner or guy or summoner spells, especially, probably possess is the most likely that you'll see banishing used. Or obviously, summon demon, or if they have ints and stuff. But if you're not fighting a summoner, or the random imp or whatever coming up, it's not going to be that useful. It's very corner case, so I think this is like low C. I agree with you.
Yep. All right, let's move on then.
And F in
Red King because people should just smack you. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Don't make people angry. It's a good spell, though, for making people angry, if that's your goal. If your goal is to lose friends, sure.
Don't worry, we'll get into how to make the Thaumaturge make you lose friends later. That's what we always do. That's our plan.
Yeah, of course.
But that's in a good way.
Yeah. All right, next spell is Blinding Light. This is a TN8, so very easy to cast, line of sight. And you cast it on a target, and they have to make a will roll against the casting number as normal. If they fail, they cannot attack, shoot, or cast line of sight spells, and their fight is reduced to 0, and their move is reduced to 1. And then they can basically reattempt this will roll at the end of each turn to cancel it. So what do you think about this spell?
So when I read this spell, it reminds me of Mind Control because you're doing the same face-off roll against it. Well, I mean, lots of spells have this, but you're like, I'd rather Mind Control them. But then again, as we talked about in the podcast, who has Mind Control? Soothsayer?
Yeah.
That was just like S-tier spell. So it's like, okay, this is some notch below that spell. But when you come down to it, you can only Mind Control one guy per each of your Wizard Apprentice.
Yep.
But this one is a gift that can just keep on giving.
Yep.
So if we're having to compare it to an S-tier spell, I don't know. This is pretty dangerous because you think you're shooting spells. Okay, you hit them, you win. They're probably still on the board. You hit a guy like this, he's not chasing your guys down. More likely to die in their combat. He's not going to like get off with treasure. I'm like... But it can't be S tier, can it? Because it's worse than the S tier spell. I'm like, but maybe it could be an S tier spell. I don't.
Okay.
I'm thinking this could be like, because we want to give like maybe 3 spells in the whole game an S tier.
You think Blinding Light is an S tier?
No, probably not.
It's up to
not.
You. I don't.
No, I think it's just A because there's other.
Okay, it's fair enough. Yeah. So the important part is that if you look at what it's doing and compare it to mind control, obviously mind control is better because you take it away from your opponent. Your opponent can't do anything with it. And then you can go and kill people with it. And if it dies, you're killing two, like killing your opponent. You got two for one. Yeah. But it's a lot harder to cast and you can only have one. And it's also an S tier. Blinding Light just takes out that unit, right? But you think about it, movement one. So they can move 2 inches. So if, and they can't attack. So, and they're likely to lose in close combat. This is, or even cast spells. This is a very strong thing of just disabling a guy and turning them off until they pass that will roll.
And I think mind control has a restriction. You can't just do it to the wizard. You can't mind control the person's wizard, of course. But blinding light, yes.
Yes.
Could get really bad for the wizard. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. If, you know, and even the wizards can increase their willpower by cutting. If they roll a 1, remember, the base blinding light is 14. Yeah. If you roll a 1, no wizard is going to cut 13 just to succeed against the blinding light. And if you succeed, they are blinded. They can't cast spells. So you've taken them out of the game when you do
once
that.
Once it's up and running, yeah. You can't.
And it's TN 8.
Mm-hmm.
So very easy to cast.
Yeah, but you want it to be high. So you're thinking, like, you make your roll, you get a 14. You're like, why not empower it by 4? You're never coming back.
Sure, exactly. So you can do that. So it's, but if you roll anything lower than a 14, you still have it base 14, so it's still quite good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or if your apprentice cast, because it's -2, right? So almost entirely, your apprentice probably going to be just 14, right?
Yeah.
But still, that is, I agree, very strong spell. I was going to rate it a high B, though. But you make a good point. We brought up all of these different things. And to be fair, while we've been playing in second edition, Blinding Light has been a crowd favorite and has been very annoying for a lot of people when you get a cast on you, especially when you roll that high thing and they're basically just out of the game. But I don't think it's that as close to the S tier as you were saying. I'd say it's probably somewhere a low A or high B. But I could go with A. I could go with A. And I think you convinced me that Blinding Light is an A-level spell. Just because, you know, even though it needs a willpower roll, it's really
it's devastating,
very powerful when it goes off. Yeah. And it's so easy to cast. That's the other thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Want a high, even though it's easy, it's still one of the ones where you want a high roll. So, anyway.
Yeah.
I would say it's one of the top spells.
All right.
Even though I don't know if I've ever taken it. I've never taken it, so honestly.
I don't know if it's a top spell, but you've been screwed over by it a lot.
I don't even know if I have. I don't know.
Well, then I don't know if it could be A. If you
I seem to just break out of it. I just get lucky and break out of it. I'm like, oh, 19, I break out. Just don't worry. Just roll that 19 and get out.
All right. Next spell is Circle of Protection. So Circle of Protection is a TN-12 touch. So I didn't really think about its touch. So well, you create...
Yeah, read the whole thing. That's why I touched. It's kind of odd.
Okay, so create a circle with a 3-inch diameter, which no demon or undead creature can pass through. If something forces them to contact the circle, then they just stop at the edge. A spellcaster can only have it at up at one time. But they can move away, basically, after they cast it. But it's still, you have to place it while touching it.
Yeah, it doesn't follow you around. It just stays in place. So you can't just walk around with this forest sealed up.
Sure. So it goes away at the end of every turn on a 1-3. So what do you think about this spell?
This is also extra corner case. Like, for some reason, if your opponent casts, like, some sort
of... Undead demon. And demon.
Well, it is undead and demon, which I took a look at the stats on what percentage of the guys are undead, which we'll get into in a future spell, aka destroy undead. And if there's a monster that appears on the board, there's a 29% chance that it will be undead, which is, I guess, because we're looking at demons and undead, the imp could appear. So it's probably about one third of the monsters that appear from the bestiary, because it's kind of like biased, because there's a lot of rats that appear, which they count as part of like the number of guys that may be on the board. But being able to defend against a third of the monsters not jumping on your wizard, it's okay, but I just don't see this as being a support spell or like a main idea spell. It's just, if you have it and for some reason the whole lot a demon was running at you, maybe, but you still have to kill it with somebody else because you want to walk around. So like, it's just so few situations you can use this.
I think there's two things that mess it up. I'd say it's a low C, and I could even see it as a high C if two things were to change. First of all, TN12 is very high.
Yeah.
So you could try to put this up and then fail, and then you're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is you could, if you could cast this like as a range spell, like up to 12 inches or something like that, or up to 6 or 8 or something like that, then you could bind a demon. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so much cooler. As it is right now, you literally have to walk up to the undead or demon and then cast the circle of protection around them to bind them. That, and at a TN12, that is really dangerous. Yeah. And you can't, it's going to be hard even to protect other people as well, right? Because it's touch. I think this is, in some ways, I feel like this is a lost opportunity to make a much more interesting spell if you could just shoot it, you know, 8 inches or 6 or 12 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be like bind, you know, creature or something like that.
Demon cage, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever, low C, not great. It's
pretty low. Mm-hmm. Not never.
Very
but
cool.
Like...
Very cool and thematic,
mm-hmm.
but just not, it doesn't work out with because of those things.
Or if you could literally cage anybody who has spells on them too, like who knows?
Well, technically, you know, possessed becomes demon or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's other things you could do, but to me, you just increase the range. Increase the range would. And make it TN10, it's probably will be usable.
And throw animals in there too. Just everybody.
No,
everybody
it's
cages.
Fine. Demon or undead is fine, I think. Like you said, there's 30%, and there's a lot of strong demons and undead that people can summon, right? That's a wide swath of things.
Hey, wraiths. So the undead, like vampires, don't appear very often. They're freaking scary. Banshees and wraiths, scary. Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, and greater demons, obviously scary. So, All right. Next one is Destroy Undead. So this is a TN10 line of sight. And this is like the undead equivalent of Banish, except it only works on one guy. So you can target one undead creature, and then they make a TN roll against the casting roll. And if they fail, if they have willpower 2 or less, so some for some reason not 4 or less, then they automatically die. Otherwise, they suffer damage equal to 3 times the will roll. But it only works on one guy.
Yeah.
This, to me, is weird. Especially if you're thinking about classic fantasy in movies and stories. Like, it's usually the other way around. When you have one demon coming through in classic fantasy, you're targeting that one person and then you're having a, you know, a mind fight and then the one demon gets banished.
Yep.
But then when it's hordes of undead, you know, the spellcaster, you know, casts up their wand and suddenly all
casts their
the
holy light
disintegrate.
Thing and it kills all the undead right in front of them. It doesn't kill like the guys in the back usually.
It doesn't kill the one skeleton in front and then the other skeletons come and beat it to death. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this to me, I feel like is a fluff fail, but it is TN10 and line of sight. So what do you think about this spell?
Oh, like I said, the stats, about 30% of the things that appear, not 30% of the results, but 30% if there's a creature on the board. Because, as I said, tons of rats could be on the board.
Yeah.
It's not totally corner case, because, you know, some of them are this. But, I mean, I'd rather just have control animal or something. Like, an animal shows up, and now it's my animal, and now I get to fight with it. There's just so many better versions of affecting like creatures on the board than this. This is just lower than corner case at C. Like, well, it's corner case, but it's just you don't plan. You don't. There's no game plan to build around this.
this is the, in my opinion, the third triumvirate of low C thaumaturge spells. Again, if it was like banish and it could hit all undead, at least it would be kind of useful, because oftentimes undead come in groups. But the fact that it targets one, it really makes it low C, and it's willpower two or less. Like, Joe definitely tried to make this spell not great, not overpowered. And instead, he nerfed it to like Oblivion.
Yeah. And he didn't want you to clear the dungeon. Like, psh, it was just within 12. Okay, sure. You clear like all the guys who are surrounding you. You're like, oh, I clear them all.
I think we talked about a thing that would be more interesting, is if you just turn banish and destroy undead into one, but you just choose a spot and everyone within 2 inches, like undead and demons have to test and then have the same kind of thing. Yep. That would have been a more useful spell than having two different ones. Then you have to take two different spells to hit two different things. It's just not really worth it. You'd probably just rather reduce blinding wipe by -1 or something. So,
yep.
Or learn any other kind of spell. So to me, and on top of that, there is overlap between planar tear and banish. I guess I'm going back to how banish is annoying. So to me, destroy undead, no, man, not a great spell.
No.
And honestly, a lot of the undead that you're going to use, that you would use destroy undead, would be better served throwing a grenade. A grenade would be more likely to destroy them, because every single skeleton only has one life anyways.
Very true.
So they fail, they just die.
Yeah, and you get, like you said, it hits multiple guys, so.
Yep.
Yep. Could be fixed. It's just not a great
destroy
thing.
Destroy undead almost is like the worst out of the three. I think it's like the lowest, the closest to F of the three.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that you would rather do.
Yep.
All right. Next one.
We're getting a lot of C's here. Let's see if it improves.
Yeah, low C's too.
Yeah.
1A, 3 C's. All right. Next one is Dispel. This is a TN12 line of sight, and you immediately cancel an ongoing effect of one casting of any one spell. I guess it says line of sight, so I guess you should have to have line of sight of the spell to be able to cast it. But there are certain spells that are on the entire battlefield. Right? Can you dispel that? Can you not? The one that is
like
reducing
like power cloud. Word? Yeah.
Mm. Power word. How does those work? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know how that works. I would say if you see the wizard, you could do it for sure.
Technically, it could have come up, but we've just avoided it by not trying to dispel those things. All right.
Read deep into the FAQ of the.
So it cannot unsummon creatures, but it does dispel the control of the creature. So if someone did summon demon, in some ways, you know, that's often better for you, right? If someone you summon demon, they automatically get control demon on that demon. You can just dispel it so that they're no longer controlling it, and the guy right next to them is now an enemy. I think we talked about that during the summoner and why summon demon is not quite as strong as it seems. It's a little bit weaker because of Spell Eater and Dispel. Yep. And Dispel is just the better version of Spell Eater. Spell Eater is literally the same thing from the Necromancer, except that it's you lose one life, whereas Dispel is just pure. So what do you think?
I think this is an A. Because so many times your opponent puts up a spell on the board, and you're like, well, I'm screwed now. Like, what am I supposed to do? They put the wall there. My guys can't chase them down. They put up fog, and their gallery guys are all like hiding behind the fog. And you're like, but I could have shot you all dead because you're all on low health. And it's like, oh, but we put the fog up. Or they mind control your guys. They buff their guys to a point where you can't, or they go in, like, I guess you can't see the invisible. Got to get the inverted, the invisible. But like so many times your opponent comes up, puts spells up where like that's their whole plan. They're going to win. And this lets you break their winning plan. So, I don't know.
I think it is at least an A.
Yeah.
This is on the edge of S to me. This is basically, if you ever played Magic the Gathering, This is the counter spell of the game.
If it didn't need line of sight, yeah, okay, you could put an S tier, but you at least, I think I can't be hiding from you. You have to expose
yourself. It literally cancels all of the strong spells, mm-hmm. except for, like, transpose, because transpose is immediate, right? Like, a lot of things that we talked about, this can really mess with them, right? And it also protects any kind of mind control. If they blinding lighted you, your guy, you can dispel it so that they can fight again. This is so strong, and it is basically the counter to the enemies. And because spells require you to succeed on casting and you only dispel afterwards, you can basically wait on dispel. You don't have to cast it when they're casting it, right? And then potentially lose it. They have to succeed first, and if they don't succeed, you can cast something different. But if they cast something that you need to get rid of, you can then cast dispel, which means the opportunity becomes negative for them if they try to cast something that you're immediately going to dispel, because they potentially fail, waste that ability, and then on top of that, especially if it's a high casting cost to cast, you can, you know, remove that. So that is really, it's just really strong.
Yeah, if they're considering empowering and taking damage, like, you're just going to dispel it. You're like, yeah, you could have that for a little while, but you don't even need to use dispel when they've just been discouraged. You're like, don't even bother.
Honestly,
yeah.
I almost think this
thing is better than blinding light, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely is better than blinding light.
Yep.
So I almost think this is too powerful because it adds too much counterplay.
If its range were cut down, that would definitely cut its power down. You have to put yourself at a bit of risk to dispel things, but if you can just dispel...
Yeah, you need line of sight, so there is some of that. But, yeah, there's I don't know what you can do to make it, weaker, but this is borderline too powerful, I'd say, and that's why I think it might be S.
Yeah, maybe if you took damage when you failed the dispel or something, who knows? Because the other version spell eater, you have to take damage to do. It's like, well, this is amazing. Yeah. There should be some penalty for this amazing effect of getting rid of people's spells. But,
yeah, so I don't know. I don't know about this one. I feel like if you the only way, and again, maybe it's not overly powerful, but it definitely is a spell that I feel like there's a better version of the spell out there for the game overall.
Yep.
But in terms of power, this is a top level spell.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next spell is the Thaumaturge's, like, I don't know what you call it, quintessential spell, Heal. So this is a TN8, line of sight within 6 inches, and the target heals 5 life. So it heals back 5 life up to the maximum. You can't go over maximum. It doesn't work on undead or constructs. Unless technically you're a vampire, and then, or is it lich? Unless you're a lich. And then it only works on undead.
Yep.
But anyways, what do you think about Heal?
I'm thinking I know who wants to be the target of this spell. I think the target wants to be your wizard and your apprentice.
Yes,
for sure. You go through the game, you keep being like, I need to empower this just to get it through. I need to keep empowering to get it through. And by the time you hit like turn 6, you're like, getting kind of low on health here. I think we might need to retreat. But this casts on what? An 8?
Yeah.
So you're probably gonna get that 5 health back, and it means you can stay in the game. It means you can go for all those spells that we talked about, like blinding light, or like all the spells out there where you want to empower to make it harder for the guy to break out of it.
Yep.
This just lets you keep using those spells over and over without like having to sort of tap out after a while. It's amazing.
For sure. It's basically like, allows you a +3 if you thought about it, almost like the what was the other one, the one that gives you +3 on a single spell, right?
Power word.
Yeah, so Heal is like kind of like that, but it can give you up to a +5, but it you happen afterwards, right? Because you can just cut for 5 and then you cast this, you go up, you heal back to 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, Heal is a lot less risky than other spells, because if you roll a 5, you just cut 5, right? So normally if you roll 5, you take 1 damage.
Yep.
For Heal, you just cut 5 and you heal it back up. You're neutral, but you did still cast a spell, but you didn't lose a life,
yeah.
Right? So, and of course, if you roll a 1 to 4, you just cut for that, and then you heal 1 to 3 or 4, right? So mm-hmm. it's a very easy spell to cast, especially as a Thaumaturge. You don't even have to reduce it. Great spell. If you roll anything above an 8, you just get 5 more health, or you can obviously cast it on guys that are injured, right? So guys that are wounded, you can bring your bear back up to full fighting capacity.
Yeah, this is an amazing your bear is probably on their side of the board, not your side of the board if you're playing it right.
That's true.
I'm thinking more like That's your true. Rangers and your archers that are kind of guarding your flanks, and they're taking shots back. You're like, ooh, they're getting kind of unhealthy here. All right, get back up to that 10 health. Let's keep going.
Yeah,
or get back up to 9 health.
You can be a little bit, because Thaumaturge also has heal, you can be a little bit more risky, because even if you got reduced down to low life, you can still try to hide in the back and heal yourself back up.
Yeah.
So, especially with the support of your apprentice. So, did you rate it?
Clearly, what we just said, it's an A, like clearly.
Yeah. The only question is it an S? I don't think it is an S. I'd say Dispel is much more back. Like, Heal is a great support spell, one of the best support spells in the game. I guess the best spell you can kind of think it as a support spell, but it's also just like, it can break your opponent's game plan, whereas Heal generally mm-hmm. doesn't. It just tilts everything in your favor over the long run.
Yep.
So, yeah, great spell.
All right, so we've hit 3 A's and 3 C's.
Yes. 3 low C's and 3 A's and 3 high A's and yeah. 3 low C's. Very polarizing.
Well, you were like Blinding Light barely squeaked in an A, but I'm like high A. Okay, sure. So it balances to
me. Yeah, so we balance it out. All right. The next one is Miraculous Cure. So this one is a TN16, only out of game after, and only the wizard can cast it. And basically, it allows you to heal a single wounded roll chart. So let's say, sorry, not a single one, all of them. So if you have a damage, like if you have a stumpy leg, I think, what did they call it? Limp or an eye wound, you mm-hmm. can cast Miraculous Cure. You can succeed only with wizard can cast it, but if you cast that, you get rid of all of those or your apprentice. In addition to that, in some ways, the more useful thing is you can try to cast it for anyone that is badly wounded and they get no penalty. Or if someone, one of your soldiers died and let's say they're carrying special equipment, you can try to cast it with a -4 penalty. Which, if you don't increase Miraculous Cure at all, means that you need to roll a 20. However, you can also use a scroll, but not for bringing someone back from the dead. So you can use a scroll to bring someone, like the injury roll, right? So the injured, you can bring them back. So what do you think about this spell?
Oh, if there wasn't a -4 penalty to the dead people, I'd be like, B, right away. Easy.
Yeah, losing a 125 gold knight with like a magical weapon, 500 gold magical weapon, is a huge deal.
Yeah, but because of that -4, it's going to take so much empowering to make that even like an option.
You can't empower it. Oh, you mean like increasing the
ability? Yeah. Changing the casting on this. There's so many other things you'd want to change the casting on. So, I mean, in a long campaign, maybe your wizards are going to want this, but otherwise, like in 10 games, I don't know, maybe you'll help with one wound. Maybe. Is that worth taking up one of your spell slots, though? Probably not, honestly.
I think it's worth it to learn, because if having a guy that's badly wounded, let's say that same knight, badly wounded, and not having them, because you don't want to get rid of them, right?
No.
Being able to bring them back the next game, so you don't have to play the next game at a penalty. That's definitely something. That is a bonus to have. And I think that's probably worth one learning spell slot to have that, you know, 20% chance, because it's 16, right? You don't necessarily want to increase it. Or if your wizard actually gets injured, this you suddenly kind of want to get Miraculous Cure to get rid of those injuries, because some of them are pretty bad, right? Like mm-hmm. reduced speed, reduced fight, right? So I don't think it's an F. Like, I think if I got this, I would probably try to learn it if I was the thaumaturge. But you think about it, if you're out of school, you need a 20 at the beginning. You basically just want to scroll with this instead.
Yep.
So I'd say this is another low C the way that it is right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's
yeah.
They could have just made, if it was a minus two to saving your dead guys, I'd be like, we're getting interesting. Like, no minus would be, okay, maybe that's, I don't even know if it's crazy. If it
had, or if it was TN14.
Minus four. As well. Yeah. Yeah,
remember, it's out of game, so you can't even increase the roll, right?
No, and it's wizard only, too, so you can't, you don't have two cracks at it.
Yeah, exactly. And also, it means that if your wizard dies, your apprentice can't, well, I guess there's some timing thing where, like, technically, if a wizard dies, your apprentice becomes the wizard, so then can they try to cast it? But then if the wizard comes back, how does that work?
That's the next game. Yeah, I think it's the next game that kicks in, so.
So, if your wizard dies, you still cannot miraculous cure your wizard. So, there's a lot of, I don't know, man, this is low C. Technically, sure, why not if you're a thaumaturge, but this is one of those ones where you basically just should not use this if this is not even allied or whatever, right? If you're not a thaumaturge, it's also almost becomes useless except for the scroll.
No, you should, even if you could learn it, you're like, maybe I should just save this level to learn something else later in case a grimoire comes up.
Yeah. If you've got a bunch of them, maybe it's worth it. If you have like extra levels and stuff, you're building them up, sure. But otherwise, not.
No.
And technically, actually, if you have write scroll, I don't know, if you have a grimoire, I think you can still write scroll, can't you?
I don't know.
I don't even think you even need to have the real one.
Let's
you can do it with the grimoire, so you don't even have to learn Miraculous Cure. So maybe this is bordering on F, honestly. Well, it's not F because it's thaumaturge. For any other school, it's not worth it, but for thaumaturge, because they only need the 16, it becomes kind of worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Barely.
Yeah. It's an F plus, maybe.
No, it's a C minus. Mm-hmm. It's like the other ones, right? C minus, although this is possibly slightly lower. I don't know. I guess I'd say maybe it's better than Destroy Undead. I'd rather have it as a thaumaturge than Destroy Undead. So it's low C.
All right. No debating over what's the worst of the worst. Let's keep going.
All right. It's not an F, so it's not the worst of the game. It's not on that level yet. All right. So thaumaturge, last spell is Shield. So this is a TN10 line of sight, and the unit gets +2 armor. And there's a thing that says, and it's not cumulative, so you can't cast Shield twice. There is a note on here that says, on the back of the book where it says maximum is 14, that's a typo. So I've checked facts. That's just supposed to mention the maximum armor of 15 that is in the full game.
Yeah.
And yeah, but they just put the number wrong. So it actually is 15.
Huh.
So you can cast this on a knight and go up to 15.
Yeah. Interesting, man.
Yeah. What do you think about the spell?
I think it falls into the category of a solid support spell. It's probably not as good as a support spell as the ones that give you plus fight, because, you know, when you have plus fight, you win. You don't just get, like, hit. So, honestly, I like the support spells that are the plus fight ones better than this. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's a lot of times where you need a spell that doesn't involve, like, seeing the target. Because a lot of these thaumaturge spells we've gone over so far, like Blinding Light or Dispel or that, you've got to get your wizard out there. You've got to see the thing that's going on. So it's kind of like an other thing in the thaumaturge's options. Just having something that you can cast to support your guys when you don't have to see the battle lines is kind of nice. So yeah, this is definitely something to consider, but I don't consider it like the top tier buffing spell. It's like a second tier buffing spell.
Not as good as strength.
Yeah. No. And probably not as good as when we talked about the summoner, probably not as good as possess either, honestly.
Yeah,
+2 fight, plus armor, might as well.
Yeah, possess is TN12, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say because of that, it's around possess, and possess also gives you -2. It makes them a demon, which allows them to be affected by the low tier spells that we just talked about, so protection and banish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it's probably around possessed level, not as good as strength, not as good as enchant weapon.
Yep.
Better than enchant armor. Unless you're going for gold, but so what would you say?
Put it right in the B category. Like solid in the middle.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good B spell. Mm-hmm. I think it's a solid B. Maybe arguably it's a little bit weaker than possess, right? Even though possess has, you know, TN12 and also the minus will and becoming a demon, which is generally only bad. But the +2 fight obviously is strong, right? +2 fight, +1 armor. So yeah, I'd say around there. 2 armor though can be go a really long way. Can really help your knights, Templars, and bears really stay in the game for a long time. Even like a man-at-arms, right? Going up to 14, it can really reduce the ability for people to knock them out.
Yeah.
So overall,
I mean, it might be a game plan for some casters. I don't know if it fits into the game plan of a Thaumaturge, though, oddly enough.
I think it does.
I think it does. Okay. And I think it does. I think it does too. But the question is whether it takes one of your spots or not. So.
Yeah, the only issue is we said 3 A's and 1 B. Mm-hmm. So in general, like when you're like, if you were to roll up shield, you'd be happy for it. For sure. Yeah. But in general, if you're taking it, it's a little bit weird to go for shield instead of blinding light, dispel, and heal. But again, it depends on your wizards. Mm-hmm. All right. So with that, I guess we should go on to support spells. So the 3 supported schools for Thaumaturge, allied, is Illusionist, Sigilist, and Soothsayer. So, what do you want to... Do you want to start, or do you want me to?
Oh, I think I started last time, so how we go alphabetically with Illusionist?
Sure. So, I think there are 3 spells in general I would use with an Illusionist, and this is kind of because of... For the Illusionist, because of the kind of things that they want to do. They want to stick around, right? Like I said, heal, dispel allows you to nullify them, and then heal, you kind of bring yourself up slowly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like Illusionary Soldier is good because it gives you an extra guy, right? And again, it just helps you tie things down so that you can slowly move up, right? The other one is obviously Transpose, because in my opinion, it's probably the best spell in the game. So obviously having it support school 14, you only need to spend a couple of points there. Plus with heal, you can start casting it right away. Yeah. And then the last one is Fool's Gold. Fool's Gold specifically because, again, with the Thaumaturge, you want to extend out the game a little bit longer because your healing and stuff and dispelling can give you an edge at the longer the game goes. So with Fool's Gold, you basically stop the opponent from getting away with treasure, therefore extending out the game.
Yeah, and like the spells we were talking about weren't like the Thaumaturge core spells aren't about like race and grab the treasure and get out. So Fool's Gold is sort of a supporting, like an allied school that lets you get the treasure from the middle while you're doing like all those other things we talked about that aren't actually like their core stuff isn't about getting the treasure. So
I feel like a lot of the other Illusionist strong spells are avoiding conflict and damage, but because Thaumaturge already has shield and heal there and blinding light, it doesn't necessarily need even more of those spells. Like invisibility has some sort of overlap because, well, you can just heal them instead if they take damage, right? So there's some overlap in that. It's not as good as it would be like to double those things up. So that's why those 3 specifically. How about you?
So Transpose and Fool's Gold also really stood out to me from that. I was really pushing for Fool's Gold because I'm like, okay, what's my game plan to get this treasure in the game? I'm like, I can definitely like blind their guys. Now they're easier to make them drop the treasure. I grab it, run off. They can't chase me. This seems like a plan. Mm-hmm. But the third one I was more leaning towards is actually beauty. And because you've got to stand out there in the open a lot to get your blinding light off, to get the spell off, you're going to be kind of exposed in the game.
That's true.
With your core plan. So I'm just like, you get a good beauty off. And now, like, their archers aren't coming out and shooting you. They're not casting, like, elemental bolts at you as likely. They'll think twice about it. So, like,
yep.
I'm like, maybe I need this to do my core plan. So beauty came up top for me.
That's a good point. And honestly, I have that down, but it wasn't in my initial list for it. So beauty is always a good spell. It depends on what your other spells are to make it work. But you're right. Beauty is a good one.
Yeah, we'll see what the final game plan for either of us comes down to. But I think you have to – I had to, like, come up the whole game plan first and then come back and take Fool's Gold out and be like, no, maybe this isn't the way to go.
Yep.
All right, on to their next
Sigilist. School. Mm-hmm. All right, so Sigilist, I like the Sigilist a lot. I put three here. Right scroll, push, and explosive rune. Explosive rune is, again, just it's a good way to shield up, around, just a good magical hit attack in school. And especially if you're having a thaumaturge that moves in more, right, then it's a good way to, like, support your guys. Again, just to slowly attrition things out. Push is just a great targeting spell. Again, if you're not using Blinding Light, push, I really think this is quite a useful spell. Again, it also stops people from trying to climb up because you just push them into the air and then they die. And it's hilarious and awesome.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Right Scroll, which I think is just so money.
It's out of game.
It's out of game, and it lets all of these spells work. And if you, for example, get Miraculous Cure and you have Right Scroll, might as well Right Scroll and Miraculous Cure. And now if a guy gets knocked out, you can just automatically do that if you fail the 16. So Right Scroll is, to me, the money one. But the other two are interesting, I feel like.
Yeah, you wrote down interesting ones. I'm just like, no, straight to the Right Scroll. There's too much to do in the... Too much to do in the game. Like, I'll take that 14 roll with my wizard and get, like, some more guarantees going on. Because some of these things you're going to want to.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself at risk. Like, you better get some of these rolls off. So.
Yeah. All right. Last one is... So that was your... You just said Right Scroll, right?
Yes. That's the only one I wrote down.
Fair enough. When I look... Okay, well, spoilers, but... That's the one I actually took from my list. So the last one is Soothsayer. So for me, there are three basic things, but kind of really only two that I would consider. I said Wizard Eye. Now, again, this is like the opposite of so if you want to go transpose, you can use Wizard Eye so you can cast them without risking your wizard. But if you want to, on the other hand, if you're taking Soothsayer, we mentioned the other S spell that we think is almost certainly S is Mind Control. So the thing with the Thaumaturge is you have access to two of the spells we think are S tier as allied spells. So Mind Control is the obvious other spell that you would want to cast on people. And then you would take, like you said, Beauty to protect your Mind Control casting. So these are the two different things, depending on which way you want to go. But Mind Control, and the last one that I'd be interested in is Combat Awareness. And now we said that Combat Awareness is a crappier spell, because it gives you plus one armor and plus one attack, but it does double up with shield, which means that you can Combat Awareness. If you take a Templar, you can Combat Awareness to go to 13, shield to 15. You have a 5 fight for a 15 armor Templar, which is super badass. And if you can find a weapon, then they can be a plus one weapon too, two-handed weapon. It is great.
So that would basically be the build, the don't risk your wizard out in the open build. If your opponents take four rangers or four crossbowmen every game, you're like, maybe I need to really think standing in the open ever. Okay, I know my opponents have four crossbowmen. That's what they always do. Okay, let's go this high armor support route. Okay,
yeah,
I can see that.
All right. How about you?
Have another one? What?
No. I have an idea of what you're gonna say.
Yeah. So I wrote down two. I wrote down Wizard Eye, is like, if you're gonna go one level down in terms of you want to play right, you want to play into those A tier spells. But you don't want to be shot at all game. Then you take Wizard Eye. But if you want to go for all of it, I want Mind Control. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have Right Scroll as well. Because you just want to take control of their guys. And now Their guys are either blind, their guys are yours. It's this seems like a pretty solid game plan here.
Makes sense. Beauty, mind control, blinding light, and then if you ever get hit or you have to cut, you can heal yourself. And anything they cast that is crazy, you can just dispel it. Well, I'm already saying one of the things that I have. All right. Anyways, mm-hmm. the support spells spells that I chose were...
Oh, so the
I only
neutral,
chose two.
The neutral scrolls?
The neutrals. Yeah. Sorry, the neutral ones were... I think I only chose two. If you look at all of the spells we chose, most of the, if you don't take transpose, you don't really have movement stuff. But even if you do transpose, you want to push up the board. Mm-hmm. So the two I had was Leap, which is Summoner.
Yep.
And Enchant Weapon.
On, so that's on a 12. Yep. 8 plus 4.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Both of those are 8 to cast, and they become 12. So those are two solid things for the Thaumaturge. It gives you extra attack. You can kill magic things that are immune to non-magical weapons with Enchant Weapon. You can also increase that Templar, right? If you have, right? If you're doing that buff route, and you can leap the Templars, you can get them into battle.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, leaping allows you to get in there. So how about you?
So I wrote down Leap as well, but then I don't think it made my final cut. And like you said, I'm absolutely in agreement with you that movement thing, you need to get some movement stuff going on here. But the direction I would actually take for that is the Chronomancer's Fleet Feet, which is on a pretty high cast. My thought process is that because you've got so many other spells where you've got to make that line of sight to the guy, that I'm just worried that if you get too dependent on having to do everything by seeing it, that at some point, like, the guy you need to get moving faster may be out of your sight. So Fleet Feet allows the guy to benefit from the movement continuously, even though he may run out of your wizard's sight, but then, like, Leap is dependent on being in sight. So I'm just worried if you don't want to... You're too constrained with...
Yeah, so you can't control the other side of the board if your wizard is on one side. You can't lead people. No, that's fair. That's a fair point. So
that's why for my movement, I'm like, maybe go for Fleet Feet, but Leap in any given situation, if you get the leap off, has more uses. It's just, you know, Fleet Feet, you can cast it early when you don't see anybody, you know.
Sure.
And so what's your last one? For the movement. And then, because we talked about Fool's Gold earlier being pretty good to get, like, a way to get the treasure towards you, because most of the core is just like take control of guys, make them not able to fight, but doesn't do quite as much to get the treasure back to you. I, as the last one, figured I would want the Enchanter's Telekinesis.
Again, a little bit harder to cast, but you do have heal probably, so you can push yourself up a little bit to get those spells off.
Yeah, and it's sort of a low risk thing. Okay, you're seeing the treasure, you're not seeing their guys yet. Maybe I'll just like bring this treasure pull it towards me, and then, you know, just the sort of some low risk stuff going on before we get into the real high risk action. You know, nothing crazy.
And then casting heal to buff yourself back up because of the slightly higher difficulties.
Yeah, and the other one I thought about, which would fit more into that other version of the Thaumaturge we talked about, where you're taking the, what was it, combat awareness and then shield. Mm-hmm. If you built that version, I think you might actually want to go for Animal Companion. Now you're like, oh, I buffed this guy. It's the bear.
Yeah.
You summon up the bear. You rush it in. You're like, bad things happen to the bear. I'll get another one. But it's a really freaking scary bear, so, you know.
14 armor bear is very, very scary.
So if you want to go down
it just doesn't die. It's very hard to die, because it also has 14 life. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think those are the two ways I can see of building it. And it all depends on how you think your opponents play or how you want to play.
Cool. All right. So putting it all together, I'm going to say one of my – I have two different builds.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say one of them, and then my second one is probably, maybe it'll have overlap, I don't know, with yours, so I'll say that after you do yours. My first one...
Do you want to give these the game plan names so people know what they're getting into, or call it name after?
Sure, this one is the Shield Templar thing. So this one, the idea is just to arbor up your Templar, shoot them forward, and then slowly, like, you know, rack up those wins. Right, and slowly take up the board. So I did dispel, heal, and shield. because Dispel is just, again, to cancel out all of the strong things your opponent's trying to do, because it's, like I said, it's almost backbreaking. Heal is just a great spell to have. And then Shield, you want to cast it on your Templar to make them really, really hard to hit.
Yep.
Then you take Combat Awareness instead of Mind Control. And that, like I said, if you put it on your Templar, it gives them 15 armor and plus one fight. So they're now at a fight five. And then I have Right Scroll, so I can actually succeed on the Combat Awareness or the Dispel. And Illusionary Soldier, so that I can help control more of the board. While my Templars and other guys kind of work their way through the opponent's warband. And the last two things I said are Leap and Enchant Weapon. Enchant Weapon, again, to buff your Templar even more. And Leap is to get your actual guys into combat and stopping your opponents from running away.
So with that build, honestly, I don't know if I would feel I need heal there, because it feels like your wizard could play a pretty pretty hidden game there and not get too much into danger, because the spells aren't relying. Like, you're not taking mind control that you're going to be looking out. Like, I think you might be able to get away without heal in this build.
Yeah, but I still take it, because heal is amazing.
Oh, it's amazing.
Heal allows you to cast the other spells as well. Like, I'm okay with damaging myself for five to cast a spell if I have heal in the back pocket, or casting combat awareness, pushing up a little bit higher. You could argue right scroll, I could change that out maybe, because I have heal in the back pocket. And of course you can heal your Templar as well if it gets injured. So maybe you could consider swapping out right scroll, or you're right, you could possibly swap out heal for blinding light. That's definitely an idea.
Yeah, I can see your point that you're just going to go for guaranteed casts every time. Because if you fail the combat awareness thing, how does the guy rush off if he doesn't have his spells up? You're like, okay, just even on that supporting direction, there's good reasons for it. Yeah.
That's basically it. I guess you could also take out, instead of Illusionary Soldier, Transpose, just because Transpose is great. And then that also allows your... If you have a Super Templar running around, you can transpose your Templar around to the combats that they need to be in, which would be interesting.
All right.
I like the Illusionary Soldier outside of the game, right? Allows you to get that stuff from the beginning.
Yeah. Can I name the next build? Just guessing what it'll be. Can I call it Own Their Army build?
Sure.
All right. If you think that's an appropriate name, possibly.
Yep.
All right.
What is it?
Oh, you name your version, I'll name my version. All right, I'll name my version first. You already went for one. So here's where we go down the three A spells, because this isn't the support version. We go Blinding Light, Dispel, Heal.
Yep.
And then onto the complementary, we go for Beauty, because we're going to be standing in the open and casting Mind Control from the Soothsayer.
Of course.
So that's the second spell. And then we have Right Scroll, just in case, something doesn't go off. But you really want that guy mind controlled.
Yep.
So, or you want him blinded.
That's what I wrote down. And it's weird that I didn't name Beauty when this was literally my main... this was part of my main list.
I had to go back and revise it, too.
I have it written down here. I wrote down Beauty, but it wasn't in my list of spells to recommend for Illusionary Soldier. Because I knew you weren't going to mention it, maybe. Sure, it wasn't a mistake.
And then the other ones I mentioned, out of the four I liked from the neutrals, would be Telekinesis to pull some treasure in closer, and then Fleet Feet to go chase their guys around who might be blinded and then trying to just crawl off slowly. And you're like, no.
So that's where we changed slightly. I used Leap and Enchant Weapon.
Yep. Both. Well, Enchant Weapon
they're very similar in terms of the lists.
In terms of how it's going to play, it plays very similarly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just own their army in the middle by either the guys blinded wandering around, or they're yours. Yeah. It's just
And any time they try to get something going, you just dispel it, and you have your beauty there, so it's so much harder for them to take them out. And even if they do get hit, you can heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Works great.
All right. So where do you see the weakness in this? What do you see as the weakness for this being of the game plan?
What weakness?
Yeah.
This is one of the most safe, again, I guess, getting shot. If you they just roll lucky on the beauty.
Yep.
But this is super safe because you have heal and beauty going up, and then you just using blinding light and mind control. I think one of the weaknesses probably something like an illusionist, where they, because they don't actually want to fight, they're just going to be teleporting people around, taking the treasure and running away, in which case you could try to take the army, but they might just run away before you can do enough, and in which case you still don't necessarily get the treasure, right?
Yeah, I see that as being like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, also dispel and mind control, so like another thaumaturge, or just someone who took dispel, right? Can kind of cancel out these strong things that you have there.
Yeah, you put your game plan up in the middle. They're like, well, I see the middle too. I just get rid of your game plan, and maybe they do something else on top of it, and you're like, I don't really have anything else on top of this. Was it?
Yep. So, yeah, so if they just roll well on willpower rolls, or they have a whole bunch of guys with higher will, they can make this a weaker thing, right? Or if you're fighting, if there's a lot of... what do you call them? Like creatures, like uncontrolled creatures in certain missions that have high willpower. Your two main things are mind control and blinding light, which both need a willpower roll. And that's why I like the enchanted weapon. It busts your guy up, right? So they can fight. So they can you can at least try to take those things down. That is probably another weakness. And that is, again, mission-dependent, and a lot of the main missions won't really have that, like in the main book. So it's generally going to be if you buy one of the other books, where sometimes they'll have a whole bunch of guys with higher will. Like, for example, the barbarians in the Red King, they all have pretty high will, right?
Yep.
So +3, which makes this a little bit weaker than normal. So it does have weaknesses. It's not like a foolproof game plan, but it is a very, in terms of riskiness, I don't think it's that risky.
Yeah, I just see other wizards who are just not trying to have a fight in the middle. They're just trying to move stuff around, switch their guys.
Oh, this fireball also.
Oh yeah, if you cluster all your guys in the middle to fight them, and then they're just like, well, who cares about my guys? They're weakened. Exactly. I'll just fireball everyone. You're like,
exactly.
Ooh, we all got fireball. Like, okay, well, it doesn't matter if it was yours or mine. Everyone just exploded in flames.
So
like, there's weaknesses to that. There's weaknesses to people who don't want to engage you. Like, if they engage you, oh yeah. If they engage you right in the middle of the board, yeah, this is going to go really well. But like you said, if it's an illusionist who just tries to move some treasure around, or people who try and transpose guys, you're going to be like, I got nothing to do. Crap.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
So the question is that a big enough weakness to drop it from a high tier overall?
I think so. I think we haven't mentioned the soldiers that we generally would take.
Oh yes.
So I already mentioned Templar. I think with the kind of things, Templar is the base unit best at killing. The thing that makes it weaker than a knight is that it wears down faster because it has one less armor, right? But when you have heal, you can keep that Templar at maximum efficiency, in which case it ends up being the best unit to take in terms of combat. And because if you see like the list that we're bringing, we don't have as much buffing, right? That's why I like the enchant weapon to buff the Templar a bit. I think overall, just take the strongest fighter. The other ones that I like... are Man-at-Arms and Treasure Hunter. Again, Treasure Hunter has base speed, has decent fight. Man-at-Arms is just solid overall, again, surviving, so it goes along with the shield and heal and stuff like that. So for my three on either of them, I'd probably choose Templar, Man-at-Arms, Treasure Hunter, and have no shooting, which is rare in general.
Okay. For the mind control build, I'm not sure I'd even worry too much about having, like, the best fighters. And I don't know if I
just want guys to survive and get there.
Yeah, I would almost want to have like speed 6 guys too, not speed 5. Because you're not worried, like, you're like, well, if we get, once we both clash in the middle, I should be able to screw you with my spells. But I need to make sure you don't get there and pull stuff away first. So I'm like, maybe I need to have minimum 6 speed on my fighters, like man at arms, infantrymen.
It would be interesting.
And then.
Triple treasure hunter.
I was thinking rangers. Because then if they somehow get away, you're just like You don't
have to care about them getting away.
And you shoot them.
You can blind and light them. They can't even run away. You can go and beat them up.
I know, but if they do get behind the wall, and you're like, shit, I gotta chase you down.
Yeah.
When you blind and light a guy,
they become zero fight. So they can take a shot with an arrow. There is some synergy with blinding light.
Yeah, so I think your idea of treasure hunters plus how I want that fleet feet. Like, all the guys who are in the middle, okay, you can deal with, but you're going to need someone who's just fast and a fighter to chase the guy who does somehow, like, get away from that down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, your treasure hunter thing. Like, two treasure hunters, two rangers, like, for a final build, two treasure hunters, two rangers, and then the fighters who are going to slog it out in the middle, just infantrymen and man-at-arms.
Yeah, I just like more treasure hunters and a whole bunch of man-at-arms. Again,
I'm just thinking. You shoot the guy in the ass if you're a ranger. It's a one less fight.
I really like the Templar, like powering up a Templar, because that Templar will be super deadly and the issue and also super survivable.
For that shield build. Yeah. The shield build and the mind control build, totally different units you take. Mm-hmm. For the shield build, Templars, yeah, agreed all the way.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now, I guess, is overall, going back to the rating of a Thaumaturge, I would say yes. I'd say this is even though I think we said half of the spells are low C, mm-hmm. so like marginally useful, almost not useful at all, the other spells are actually really good.
Yeah.
And the two support schools kind of work together. Like we said, that like it's basically one kind of list, like your enemy or screw over your enemy's band, right? Where you blinding light and mind control, and we basically said all of the main things the same, right?
Yep.
That build is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say overall it's a B. So I don't think it gets into the level of the other spells, but I could see someone arguing it's an A. It's definitely not an S, right?
No.
It's missing too many things. I could see it sliding into A, low A, but I do feel like that is just a solid – that's a solid kind of thing. But there's too many things, I guess, that are – even though it's not weak against any kind of builds, except for maybe the Illusionist – it's not as overwhelming. It's just a solid kind of game plan that's relatively safe.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's a solid B. You're not, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, if we were just basically talking about the things that this goes up against, they'll just get around your plan,
mm-hmm.
which, like, you're not going to have your army destroyed if they're, like, trying to just weave mm-hmm. their way around the plan, get the treasure without having to confront you in the middle. Mm-hmm. Which, but a lot of the other good schools that we've ranked A's have the ability to just kind of like avoid the fight.
Yeah, and get out.
Yeah, and like as we said, if somebody has Dispel or Spell Eater, they can kind of mm-hmm. wreck your plan. So, yeah. Despite how good that core plan might be, it's just, it doesn't cover all your bases, so.
Yep.
Not that it wouldn't be fun.
Although Blinding Light is very good at stopping people from running away if you can get a bead on them. So,
mm-hmm.
And obviously Mind Control. Yeah. You have to come back here.
If you want to play a little aggressively, I think, with this, just because you've got to keep your opponent in line of sight to keep the plan up. Yeah. So, you know.
And then if you take a stray arrow to the eye, things can get really bad, even with beauty, right? So.
Yeah.
Or if they throw a fireball, you know, don't get too excited, and they do an elemental bolt,
mm-hmm.
hit you with a +7, and then you just die without being able to heal yourself. So, you know, you got to be careful still. But overall, I think it's a lot stronger than the fact that it only has four spells.
Yeah, honestly, going into this, I'm like, oh, my recollection of Thaumaturges are like they're one of the worst. But then really after going through this, what?
I don't remember that.
No,
I remember
that was
Blinding Light and Dispel being really and Heal being really annoying.
Mm-hmm. But now once I did the build, it's like once you tweak around things, you're like, okay, there's a way to play this and to have some pretty good advantages. But if you don't think about it, like you can just take a bunch of stuff that doesn't work together and you've got nothing. But you gotta
honestly, I don't even remember there being a weak school.
No, we have not hit a C yet. Maybe, that's why I went into this being like,
well, yeah, well, it makes sense because there's so many overlaps in spells, right? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of craft similar things, right? So, and the allied schools help make even schools that are only like, let's say, support, like the Sigilist, quite good, because the Sigilist main spells are all support spells, but then you just they allow you to help do all of the allied spells, so suddenly it's decent, right?
Yep.
So I think in some ways you could say Thaumaturge is the same way. Like Blinding Light's a good spell, right? Blinding Light, Dispel, and Heal, but you do want those other spells to help round it out and make it kind of a more of a scary kind of school, right? So yep. Yeah. All right. Well, that is the Thaumaturge. So we only have one more school left, right? We have the Witch. And then we'll go through and we'll have to review everything and basically rate all of the schools and see if after we've gone through the ratings, see which I guess the actual tiers, right, of all the schools, and seeing if it's going to change after we've evaluated each one.
Yeah, can we kick somebody down to a C? It's like, no, we can't have everybody be a winner. Come on, got to kick somebody off the
C. Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see who gets S. Or even if there is an S, is it all just A's and B's? That would be interesting.
I mean, if the game is really balanced, or the schools are really balanced, I guess. Yeah. But in our opinion from gaming is like, no, things must be imbalanced. That's how war games are. They must be imbalanced.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, so next time we're going to be doing the Witch. So I love this school. And it's probably a lot to do with just the witches are cool, but yeah. We're rounding the bend of this Frostgrave 101. So if you have any questions about Frostgrave, about the different schools, disagreements with us, any comments or anything like that, throw us a message. You can contact us at contact@diceovereverything.com.
Or find us on Facebook. We're Dice Over Everything.
It's been Alan.
It's been Brandon.
Bye.